Welcome to the Law Shit You Should Know podcast. We're here to talk a little bit about the law
and a whole lot about nothing. Every week, we have a new guest to discuss current events, legal drama, and dive even deeper into
the Law Shit You Should Know.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Law Shit You Should Know with Alina Santana.
And Leslie Marenko.
And today we have the amazing Maria Santi. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming and engaging with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't we start by telling everyone who you are and what you do?
So my name is Maria Santi. I am the founder and managing attorney of Health and Medicine Law Firm, where we focus on helping patients with medical insurance denials. We help with patient rights issues. We also help with Medicaid and Medicare issues. And also, we assist physicians when they're trying to get coverage for a patient or patients when their health insurance is denying medical treatment or prescriptions or any kind of denial. Basically, we step in and go after the health insurance to make sure they're doing the right thing.
She fights the man.
Wow. Yeah. And there aren't many of you. I mean,
no, I was like, I've never met another one of you.
Years and years. And I mean, we got 100,000 lawyers, you know, all in Miami-Dade County, it seems. But you're the only one I know that does this area of law. So that's super cool.
So you have any competition?
There are a few. There are a few. Great
we're not going to mention them.
No,
here.
We're not going to say
don't
their
mention
names.
The dirty
we're
competition.
Gonna, we're not going to talk about Bruno.
The dirty competition on this podcast.
We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno. But she's absolutely right. I think you're a rare practice area. I don't think
yes.
There's a lot of people that do what you do.
No, there are not very many.
Which is very cool, though.
Yeah, it's definitely very tedious and a lot to go through because there's just a lot of different layers and different laws at all levels. So it's not just a slam dunk thing. You have to do a lot of research. Are we in state? Are we in federal? Is it administrative law? So a lot to go through.
Fun. So how do most of your clients come to you? Are they just referred? They Google you?
So most of my clients, they are referred usually by other attorneys because other attorneys know what I do. And like you say, not many people do what
I
do.
I just referred someone to you last week, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I don't know if they called, but...
I don't know. You got to give me the name because I always ask and sometimes they say, oh, I forget.
It's a client of mine who got billed... like hundreds of thousands of dollars because he had no health insurance and ended up having an emergency. And so it was one of those like overbilled for Tylenol kind of thing.
Right,
So trying to like negotiate down the bill and see if he could reach some sort of agreement.
That's definitely something we can help with.
Yeah, I was so like, I'm pretty sure that's something you do, right? It was a good referral. I mean, I don't know if he called you, but it was...
Yeah, we'll definitely look into that.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, I don't do any marketing really because I really don't need to do marketing. It's a lot of word of mouth and some people find me on Google or Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you Insta?
No, are you on this tickety talk?
Are you on the gram?
Are you on the tickety talk?
I'm on the gram. I'm not on the tickety talk.
Oh.
It's too new for me.
TikTok is too, you know it's going away, right? Like the tickety talk. Clearly, it's also too new for Leslie, which she doesn't even know the real name of it. She called it the tickety talk.
It's the tickety talk.
The tickety talk.
But I had un viejo one up me the other day because he's like, the talk talk. And I'm like, the what? And he was like, yeah, that talk talk. And I'm like, whoa, you're stealing my line, bro. Like, espera.
The tickety talk?
Espera, like, I was like, the tickety talk? And he's like, yeah, the talk talk. I'm like, wow. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I love that. Okay, so I think we just started with one type of case you handle, right? So one type of case you handle is this kind of case that I just mentioned, right?
Exactly, yes.
So how
like
does that work?
$2,000 Tylenol.
I was about to say, how does one come to the point where they're getting billed $2,000 for a Tylenol? Does that even happen?
Well, sometimes I don't think that high, but sometimes, yes, a few hundred dollars.
For Tylenol?
Yeah, or for something really small that might cost just $5 or $10. So a lot of these hospital charges, it mostly happens in hospitals. So a lot of these hospital charges are inflated.
Egregious.
Yes.
Egregious.
Allegedly.
No. Yeah. Allegedly.
So one thing that a lot of people don't know is that if you get a medical bill, so a person might get, like you're saying, a $100,000 bill if they don't have insurance or if the insurance company denied something. If they absolutely had no insurance, and of course they're just going to get all the full charges. But a lot of people don't know that when you do get a medical bill, it's actually an offer. It's not an obligation.
It's an offer.
It's the opening offer.
The medical bill is an opening offer. I love that.
Yeah, it is. Yes. And there's case law on this that supports all this. So if people, more people need to know that. And then essentially you can make a counter offer. That's why they do negotiate a lot of these medical bills because that's how the law classifies it. But we work with medical billing experts that'll look at the codes. So then you go into codes, and then they do an analysis and say, well, the actual cost of this service for this code is this much. And then that's how you kind of get the reasonable amount of what other people are charging in the community, what other providers, hospitals are charging for the same services. And then they have access to these databases, all this information, where then they calculate what's the average, what's the reasonable. And then that is what's typically used to negotiate with hospitals when they're charging these very unreasonable rates for medical services.
And how? What percentage would you say you can usually get cut off these things? Like, is there an average? Is it super variable?
It is super variable, so I don't want anybody to take this as like...
Sure. No promises. Like, yeah, this no is warranties not, are being made on your case. No. Yeah.
No. So, I mean, typically it could be anywhere between 40 to 60%.
That's a lot, though. Reduction. That's a lot.
But, again, you have to have... Do the right research. You have to have the right resources. You can't just go in and be like arbitrarily say, this is what I'm offering. Like, you have to have backup.
I offer paid half, bitch.
I mean, oh yeah, $200 Tylenol at half is still $100 Tylenol, mija. Okay? And I assume they buy Tylenol at bulk, so they're not even paying what I pay at Walgreens.
They pay like 3 cents for that
right,
Tylenol.
Right, exactly. Like, fuck these people. This is crazy. That is absolutely wild. So what happened to your, what did this guy get for a couple hundred thousand? I mean, did he get like open heart surgery? Like, what did your client go through?
No.
Like a couple hundred thousand dollars seems like a lot of money, right?
It's not though, when you throw in like MRIs and CTs and whatever the fuck. I think he had a back issue or something. No, it wasn't surgery. It was just, he ended up, I think if I remember correctly, he had kidney stones. If I remember, it was kidney stones. And then, so it was an emergency. He had severe pain, which the first thing they do is scan the crap out of you from top to bottom and try to figure out what the fuck is wrong with you and all kinds of tests and all kinds of whatever. And it turned out to be kidney stones, and he eventually passed them. But in the meantime, he sat in the hospital for a couple days, and it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
Fucking kidney stones.
A few days of hospital admission will do that.
Yeah.
I mean, but this isn't the Ritz-Carlton, guys. How much does it cost to stay in the hospital?
By the way, the Ritz-Carlton is not $100,000 for a couple of days. I'm just saying. It's
how
cheaper.
Much does it cost to have a room in the hospital without real... I mean, this isn't like the ER, right? He's not sitting in the ER getting like 24-hour care here. I mean, he's hanging out watching no cable, I imagine. I don't think there's any fucking Netflix
in the
hospital.
Waiting to pee out stones.
Right, ready to pee out some fucking stones. Like, how much could this cost?
Yeah, I mean, it's very variable, but a lot of things are inflated. Then the thing is, if they're doing tests, they're charging for everything.
Right.
Those CT scans and MRIs, like, I don't know.
Every time they tape his
like,
temperature,
whatever.
Bitch, they're billing for that nurse.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I don't remember when was the last time I went to the hospital, but so can you be like, look, I already had a CT scan yesterday. We ain't doing this again. It's going to cost me another $20,000.
I refuse.
How many of these do we need? I mean, can we negotiate on the spot? Like, can we, like, decline certain – this is wild.
Yeah.
I mean,
if they could. But the thing is also there's pressures on doctors, right, because – if they don't do the scan that they should have done or a test, now they could be liable
right.
for malpractice. So
right.
the doctor's not going to take that chance. So it's like a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Where if the patient says, oh, no, I don't want you to do it, now the doctor could be liable. And then essentially the patient, like a lot of times they make patients sign against medical advice documents because of the whole fear of, oh, well, you don't want me to do this? Well, that was your choice, not mine.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's really fucking crazy. I mean, so I will say, though, I don't think doctors are totally innocent here, though. Not going to lie. And I get that they're looking out for their... I know you represent doctors, so I'm a tread lightly. But, you know, after my father died a couple years ago, the bills for his care kept coming. And we didn't pay them. He had whatever, Medicaid, Medicare, whatever it's called for old people. But... those bills, like, they kept billing. Was it Medicare or Medicaid? I'm saying Medicare, right?
The Medicare is the one when you're over 60.
Yeah, that one, Medicare. Yeah. They kept billing Medicare for over a year. Like, we would, because, you know, they send you the courtesy bill of, like, they billed Medicare, mm-hmm. which you don't have to pay or anything. It's just, like, a courtesy notice. I would get those in the mail regularly about how they were still billing Medicare, and there were still services that they were billing Medicare for. And I was like, he's dead, guys. Like, who's providing this service to who, because ain't no one going to provide it at the grave, okay? Like,
the spiritual realm services are being provided.
I would get these, and okay. I would think, should I just, like, mail them back and be like, he's dead as of November 2021? Like, it was so absurd how I'd get these bills for Medicare months and even past a year later. And so I think what I'm trying to say is, I think that they've made it so difficult for doctors to bill and actually get paid.
That they have to resort to
this kind of in bulk billing and this kind of, I hate to use the word fraudulent, but kind of, you know.
Allegedly
fraud. No, but these practices, right? Like, you need to have someone in your office whose job it is to fucking bill this, right? Because it's not like something easy. Right? I mean, am I overstating this problem, or is this an issue?
No, I think it is an issue, especially in South Florida. There actually are a lot of healthcare fraud cases if you start doing your research.
Really?
In South Florida. Yes.
Shocking.
The capital of fraud, as you
Shocking.
By the way, that's real. For anybody who's listening that's not from South Florida, Miami is the number one city for fraud. Statistically, of all kinds of fraud. It could be mortgage fraud.
We're very creative.
It could be criminal fraud.
We're very creative.
We are a very creative city. We are number one.
That is part of the local culture.
You know? Yeah, insurance fraud, like number one of all kinds of fraud. We are number one. So anyways, please, I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah, no. So I was saying, like, as far as Medicare is concerned, because that's a government program, that's actually where it happens the most. I'm not talking about most private doctors know, but there could be clinics, right, that are billing Medicaid or Medicare. I don't handle that type of work, but there are attorneys that specifically defend people when they're fraudulently billing.
Yeah.
Criminal defense lawyers?
in the healthcare world, I mean, it's a combination. But like I said, I don't do that type of work.
Yeah.
But it happens a lot with clinics when they're billing Medicaid and Medicare for things that never happened.
Yeah.
But you're saying that there's, maybe it's not totally in criminal land. We've already succumbed to the fact that it's quasi-criminal, so there are other lawyers that deal with this that aren't just the criminal defense lawyers?
Well, is that there
That's
are,
fantastic.
There are specific healthcare laws that just address that.
That draw the line, or that have a line. Don't know where we fall on this line, but okay.
But I will say in their defense, they definitely get underpaid, right? I mean, you see the bill that comes. Everybody gets these bills after they've gotten some sort of treatment that has the line of how much your doctor billed, how much you paid in your copay, and then how much the insurance actually paid. And it's usually like the doctor billed $20,000 or some constant nonsense for some whatever. You paid a $50 copay, you know, and the insurance paid $87.
I was going to say, and Blue Cross Blue Shield said, here's your $100.
Blue Cross Blue Shield said $87.
Right.
And then that's it. Like, that's how it works, no? I mean...
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they are getting a lot of them do get underpaid. But one, I was thinking when you said that there's, like, another side to this.
Sure, tell me.
Sometimes, actually, if you go in and you do self-pay, it's going to cost less than what they would bill insurance.
Absolutely.
So...
Absolutely.
It's like, okay, well, what's going on?
We go to the same chiropractor, actually, and the first time I went to the chiropractor there, the first thing he did was run my insurance and figure out how much it would cost to see him through my insurance, and it was almost double what it would have been to just pay what he charges, and so I don't use my insurance to go to chiropractor. I have chiropractic benefits, which I do not utilize under my insurance plan, because it is cheaper to pay my chiro straight out than it is to use my insurance. It's absurd, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. That's 100% right.
Yeah, and that's because of the insurance, health insurance companies obviously have their bottom line as priority, not necessarily patient care. I mean, I think they do try to balance it, but at the end of the day, it's really, okay, what's our bottom line?
It's happened to me at some urgent cares, too. Not the full service of the treatment, but there are certain things you can pay for at urgent care, like a la carte, you know, like certain blood work or certain...
Is
like,
that right?
Yeah, certain medications where, like, they sell it in the lobby for $8.
So what, this is a hybrid model? Like, I have insurance, but what can I
But I'm not going to
pay
do this
in
under
cash,
my insurance
maybe? Like,
because if I need antibiotic A because I feel like shit and I have the flu, or whatever fucking antiviral, whatever you want to call it, I'm not a doctor, and you go get it at Walgreens, you might pay $17 plus whatever the insurance is paying for that medicine.
Sure.
But if you buy it in the little machine and just pay for it straight out of your pocket, it's fucking $4 for these pills.
Wait, are you saying there's a vending machine at the urgent care? Is that what you're saying?
I am. There is a vending machine.
Ay, Dios mío.
All of the Baptist care locations have vending machines, yes. Just
with
so
medication.
Know. Medication vending machines. Oh, I mean, you need a prescription.
I didn't know that.
You need a prescription, and there's a code, and you put it in, and then it vends out whatever, wow. You pay it. Yeah, there's a vending machine, yeah. Most of the urgent cares. I go to the urgent care. This is my location of choice for medical treatment. I love the urgent care.
I know they have
because they're
packages.
Open till 9 p.m., so I'm all about the urgent care, like when I need some shit. I have mild, very mild asthma, so whenever I have a cold or something, I just do a quick visit to the urgent care, and they give me an inhaler. I otherwise don't have a prescription for an inhaler because I don't need it on the day-to-day. So I'm a frequent flyer at the urgent care for generally an asthma inhaler. But whenever I need anything, honestly, like if I have a cold, or they'll usually give you something else along with the inhaler, like some antiviral or whatever, right, and their little vending machine pumps it right out. I've got to go to Walgreens. Wow. I don't got to go anywhere, and it's not covered by insurance, but I'm paying fucking $6, and I'm getting it done in the lobby, and I don't have to go run it through the insurance for another hour and a half at Walgreens and wait for them to fill my prescription for like 12 pills in a bottle, and then the insurance company bills you $40 for it, and then you got to argue, and... I just pay the $4 in the lobby in the vending machine, you know?
Look at that. Wow. This is the future, people.
It is the future. And I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm actually not. Like, it's super convenient, and obviously the $4 is worth it to me to not have to deal with everything else. But it's not a good thing. I have insurance. Like, my insurance should be covering these fucking pills, especially if they're just fucking $4. Like, you know, like, this is a problem, is it not? Like,
it would probably cost you 10 times that if you build the insurance.
Exactly, that's the thing. And then it's back to the chiropractor example, right? Like, I still go and I get chiropractic services, but imagine if I didn't have the money to pay for the chiropractor and my only choice was insurance. I just wouldn't get care because it's double the cost, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people that don't get things done because of the costs associated with
them. Yeah, definitely. I mean, these days that's something that does happen a lot, and studies have shown that people do hold off on patient care.
Yeah.
Because they have a deductible that's too high, or their coinsurance is too high, or they just can't afford to pay for that. So they say, well, I'm going to skip the doctor. And, I mean, actually, now that you said that, the Affordable Care Act actually has, like, preventative care that...
Yeah.
You don't pay for any of that so that you can get checked.
Yeah, but that's like one annual visit.
Exactly.
And then a wellness woman visit for women.
But
that's
like,
about it.
Yeah, when you really need it, yeah, a lot of people, they get sick and they're like, oh no, I can't pay that. So they hold off and
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to be one of those people with, like, a clipboard going, how much is this MRI? Like, how much? Dang it, I don't want that Tylenol. Don't give me no fucking $20.
The best part is, like, when you talk to them, they don't know. Nobody knows.
But actually, there is a new law. It's not that new. But you can request good faith estimates now, and they are required.
Oh, I like that. I'm writing that
down. As I'm, like, bleeding from a gunshot wound, I'm like, how much is that going to cost me? Like,
they are required to provide good faith estimates before a visit. Obviously, if it's an emergency, you're not going to have the opportunity for that. But any
no me van a hacer caso.
Hospital visit, you can ask.
But, you know, it's not just the estimate. That's good to know, actually. But it's not just asking for an estimate. They never know. When you make the appointment, they don't know. You make an appointment that's a month and a half away. They have no idea. They don't run your insurance until, like, the 2 days before you get there. Yes. And then they call you the day before. This happens to me all the time because I do get regular medical care. Like, I have a couple of deficiencies. Nothing out of this world, but I have a couple of deficiencies. And I have a very proactive doctor who likes to get things done. And I'm all about being proactive.
Right.
And so I'm always down for whatever scan this woman sends me for. I'm like, I'm in. And I make these appointments all the time. Like, I have one coming up, actually. And they don't tell you. You ask them, they don't know. They tell you the insurance department will run the insurance when the time comes, which usually is the day before, when you get a phone call telling you that it's either $5 or $5,000.
Oh.
And then I'm just telling you, like, this is how this goes.
Oh, wow.
And then I cancel the appointment, and my whole day is fucked on the calendar for absolutely no reason, because nobody could do this any sooner.
Like, so one thing about that, though, so a lot of people don't know this either. So if you go for a procedure or an exam or something, a lot of times they will tell you, you need to pay this much up front. A doctor's office will tell you, maybe a hospital, oh, you got to pay the full amount up front. But actually, you are not required to do that. I mean, if they want to run their business like that and they want to reject patients because of that, fine. But that's not how it works. Like, first, the claim has to be submitted to the health insurance company. They process the claim, and then that's how you're going to know what your deductible and coinsurance is based on that calculation. Because if you don't do that calculation, if you paid something ahead of time, that doesn't necessarily get credited to your deductible because
Right.
They didn't report it.
Exactly.
So that's why the claim has to be billed first. And I always, when I go to a doctor or anything and they ask me to make an upfront payment, I hold back because I'm like, no, first my insurance will process and then I will pay you what the allocated amount is.
Right, right, right. Because the remaining bill.
If not, I mean, I've helped people. It turns into a nightmare trying to get this money back because they didn't apply it to the deductible. And then they get paid for the claim by the health insurance company and the patient overpays.
Yeah.
So then trying to track down that money from a provider is just, I mean, it's a disaster and a lot of work. And
I mean, ain't nobody got time for this.
Yeah, and it's just something, if you have health insurance, it's not something that you have to do. Like, they have to process the claim first and then bill you. So I would advise to push back on those things. And if they reject you as a patient and say, well, until you pay, we can't see you, well, then you have to determine if your values are aligned with that medical professional or not.
Wow. If your values are aligned, I like that.
But it's more than that, though, because it's not just, well, bill me later, but they're still going to bill you some outrageous amount that they didn't tell you about until the day before. And so there's a certain amount of pressure, at least the way I see it is, I could have made this appointment a month and a half ago somewhere else. Like, I have now wasted a month and a half of my life, canceled the appointment. I got to go call another fucking doctor. It'll take me another month and a half to 2 to 3 to 10, if you're talking to the major universities, to get another fucking appointment with another specialist that does this.
Like, oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it happens all the time. Like, I got a great example for you. I'm due for a mammogram. Super standard. No big deal. Just made an appointment. I actually had my assistant do it. And he didn't know any better. And he booked at a doctor's hospital, which is a major facility because they have a scanning facility. And doctor's hospital is a wonderful place. I'm not complaining about doctor's hospital. However, when you make an appointment there, the moment you get there, you're now inpatient services. And it's like you've been admitted to the hospital. And so your everything deductible kicks in. And it's thousands of fucking dollars to get a standard fucking mammogram because you're now been admitted to the hospital to get this done, as opposed to going to like the imaging diagnostic center in the corner mom and pop shit place that's gonna just charge you your copay for whatever your mammogram is, $10 or whatever the fuck it is.
How does one know that?
The day before they call you to let you know after you've waited 6 months for the fucking appointment.
Okay.
And that's my point. That's my point is that the whole system is just fucked. Like the whole system is just fucked. Like, part of me is like, maybe I should just go pay the fucking $1,000 because waiting another 6 months is not exactly something I want to do. Obviously, I'm not going to pay $1,000. But when we get into the argument of, like, $100 versus $300, like, that gets the line gets a little blurrier on whether I'm willing to go through the fucking heartache of doing this all over again for another fucking 5 months and fucking another day on my calendar that I've now blocked out and have unblocked out because...
So I've had clients where it's even worse than that, where they have everything prepared to have a surgery.
Yeah.
They do all the pre-op things that they need to do.
Labs and everything.
And then they get a call the day before, we need to cancel your surgery because the health insurance company denied your pre-authorization request.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not only have they just wasted time and appointments and money on all that pre-op, they now have to reschedule, and then who knows when it'll get approved or denied. And then some people, it's urgent and they can't wait and they have to pay out of pocket, or I help people with appeals sometimes when they go through that process. Sometimes we get it overturned. But if not, we have to file a lawsuit to get them the surgery that it's like it's a medical necessity. And just because the insurance is saying, oh, well, it doesn't check this box, we're not approving it, they get into this situation.
So this
can't get treatment.
Let's say I have a back problem, right? And so at this point, let's say the doctor has said you need surgery. And that's what you're saying, like maybe the day before or after I'm all ready to do surgery.
You blocked out your calendar for the next 3 weeks to recover. You have mom flying in.
I'm
going to
get a call from some clown at Blue Cross Blue Shield going, just kidding, we're not paying for this.
JK. Yep,
it happens all the time.
And then I have to hire a lawyer to force them to pay for this.
JK.
Because it happens all the time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Even after the doctor has said, like, it's no, you don't even day, right? Like, I need surgery. Like, no. This is after a doctor has said, yes, bitch, you fucked up. You need surgery.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And then the insurance goes, well, that's all cute. That's on you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yep.
And most of the time you don't find that out until, like, the day before, exactly. Is what I'm saying. Because on top of everything, something I don't know, understand why medical providers don't change this, is they never fucking run your insurance until like a day or two before. I have no idea why. Like, for God's sakes, if they would fucking do me the favor of running my insurance the day I make the appointment. But no, they send it to some billing department that will inevitably do this the day before. So you never fucking know until the last second. Like, this is how this works. Always. I've yet
to. In the meantime, the you're the Huawei now. Your back hurts.
With the Huawei now.
The Huawei now. You can't work.
That's the term of art.
Like, yeah. This sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. I've had to go in and get injunctions because it's like a very urgent situation. Some emergencies, some cancer patients. I had one client that had like a huge hernia that it was very life threatening, and they denied the surgery like the day before. And then it was, I mean, we had to go into court, get an injunction, file a lawsuit. Like, it was just...
Wow.
Just for a very standard medically necessary procedure. Like, there's no reason to be denying this other than you're trying to make up an excuse under the health insurance policy that you don't want to pay for it for this reason. Because they will find whatever they can many times.
And then who determines... who approves or denies the pre-authorization? Just some random clerk, right? How do they determine that is a better question. How?
Well, so this is actually a big topic now in the U.S. Because a lot of doctors are struggling with pre-authorization issues where patients are having medical care delayed or treatments delayed because of this. So it's either going to be just an appeal specialist or a clerk or somebody that works there. And the latest thing is there's algorithms that they use, and they just push a button, don't even review the actual file of the person's medical necessity, and they just push a button. A lot of insurance companies, depending on what type of claim, like if it's not a standard one, a more, I guess, more complicated or high-value amount, they would put their medical director on it to look at it and say, okay, well, is this really medically necessary or not? But most recently, a few months ago, Cigna was caught doing this, and a class action was filed against them because they found out they were just literally pushing a button using an algorithm, not even reviewing this patient's file to see what the doctor was saying or anything. It was just.
But when you say an algorithm, is this reviewing at least some of the record, or it's like eeny, meeny, miny, mo, ese?
This was, they uploaded it to ChatGPT. It said, ChatGPT, should we pay for this? Like,
and ChatGPT said, no, bitch. Like,
yeah, I don't know the specifics. Wow. I don't know the specifics.
Allegedly.
Like, allegedly. What they use. Allegedly. Yeah. I'm not sure, like, what they're looking at or what their criteria is, but it's something like that they just put it in here.
Sure, they put in some criteria of, like,
yeah,
either there are these buzzwords or these buzzwords aren't there. And if they're not there, the answer, the output is no.
Does it have the right hashtags?
Exactly. The output is no.
Pretty much.
Hashtag dying. Hashtag help.
Yeah.
Hashtag appendicitis. I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, that's fucking terrible.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
So some lawyer has sued Cigna in a class action saying, yes, this is not the procedure. I assume under some type of regulatory statute of review. I mean, whatever.
Under health insurance policies, the policy will govern how they pay. There's also state laws. If it's an employer plan, it's going to be federal law, so they do have certain duties.
Oh, interesting.
It's called ERISA, which is not favorable to patients at all. That law needs to be changed stat, and I hope Congress does something about it.
Good luck with that. Okay. Luck,
yeah.
But it's they do have certain duties.
What does ERISA stand for?
Employment Retirement Security Act.
Okay, got it.
But anyhow, under that, like, they have fiduciary duties. They have to give a meaningful review. So I don't know exactly what that lawsuit was about, but let's say if it was a federal employer plan, then they're going to be subject to these regulations where you have to give meaningful reviews. You can't just, that would be completely violating those laws. But then you have the health insurance policy, same thing. You have to explain. We in Florida, we have the health insurance code, and it has a health insurance section, and it'll tell you, okay, what are the requirements? What do they need to follow? What do they need to do? A lot of people are familiar with insurance and other areas where there's bad faith. So same thing in health insurance, not all policies, but some of them.
Oh, do we get attorney's fees for this, for bad faith?
On some policies, yes.
Okay.
Depending.
On some policies, she said. Some.
Because, of course, the next, like, logical thing of all this, like, let's say somebody does need to hire you. They've now rejected my back surgery, right, the day before.
Yeah.
And they don't want to pay for it. And I imagine back surgery, you know, if some little fucking kidney stones cost $200,000, I don't want to know what back surgery costs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I need...
God forbid you want, like, robotic back surgery because...
Bro, hashtag stay healthy. Stay healthy, people. La cosa está jodida. So then I have to hire you, but obviously, you know, you... This is not community service, okay? Like, right. you're not here for only charitable purposes. So is there a way for you to get your attorney's fees in certain cases out of Blue Cross Blue Shield, my bad actor in all of my examples, because that's what I pay for here in the firm?
Yes. So there is a way to get attorney's fees either. In some cases, it'll be discretionary. Other cases... It'll be if you win, you get the fees. Other, it's the prevailing party. So it depends on the type of policy.
This isn't you get me one more dollar and you get all your attorney's fees. First party plaintiff type shit. No.
Some things are similar, but no. There's just different types of policies that are different. But I actually do have a story on this one. They did away with that 627.428 for all insurance policies. I don't know if you guys remember that.
We have no idea what you're talking about. Please explain.
Okay. So
we lost you. So
in Florida, there was the law was always, well, you have to sue if you have home insurance, whatever, you have to.
Oh, okay. Last year, the law last year.
Yeah, the 2023.
Oh, I didn't know the numbers.
Oh, okay, I didn't know it also dealt with.
No, in 2023, but it was SB 83. I don't remember the number.
Blah 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 blah. Okay.
But anyways, The house
insurance, is that...
Yeah,
that?
Yeah, that was... I mean,
I agree with Leslie. I had no idea it affected health insurance as well.
Yeah, it affects all lines of insurance.
Oh, interesting. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
There are some that are health insurance that it doesn't affect.
Okay.
So that's fine. But I actually went to Tallahassee and lobbied for this because I said, well, if a patient is dying and the health insurance company is denying cancer treatment... which happens, and I've had multiple cases like that.
Yeah.
What are they supposed to do if they need to sue their health insurance company? And they actually did end up creating a new section where if there is a total coverage denial, they will pay fees. And I was still concerned. I mean, I'm not going to talk about technicalities here and legal technicalities.
Sure.
But it's supposed to be a declaratory judgment action. And I was concerned to be with some case law. And I actually talked to the sponsors of the bill. And then they assured me, I want to say this because they assured me, if you file under this statute, you can do summary administration. So if the patient needs treatment, you can move this fast. You don't have to wait like a regular lawsuit. So this is even better than what we had for health
lies.
Insurance.
Lies. I have a feeling the conclusion of this is lies.
And I was like, well, that sounds good, but I still have my concerns, and here's the case. And now where I have done that in some cases, where typically I reserve that for more urgent matters, I have defense counsel fighting me on it. Oh, it shouldn't be summary administration. Or no, you're only doing this to get fees. And I'm like, no, I'm doing this because they need medical treatment. Like, what? So that is very frustrating, and I actually got involved, and I've talked to even chief judges about this because they don't even move the cases. Like, I'm like, this person needs medical treatment, and this law is specifically for this. Like, move the case, and it doesn't happen. Like, you still have to wait months. So.
Yeah.
That's way too technical already, so I don't want to...
No, this is great information. You're all fucked, people. I don't know.
Everyone's fucked. That's the conclusion. Every time we have a podcast, all I determine is we're all fucked and the world is over soon. We're just gonna, And now they're gonna give Trump the nuclear codes again. I mean, it's just done. We're just done.
Like, wow,
we're so done. This thing has, I'm spiraling.
She is. Her anxiety is
fucking spiraling. Like,
she somehow got it back to Trump. I don't know how that happened.
Fucking spiraling.
Like nada que ver con nada. Like nada que ver.
I'm having a day, guys. I'm having a day.
Wow. I mean, I'm still over here in my fictional back pain going, how could you deny me surgery? I don't understand. How am I supposed to live? Like,
Well, listen, even if they approve your surgery, The truth is that nowadays you're probably paying $1,000 a month for that insurance, and your yes. deductible is like another $10,000.
Well, sure, but that's better than $500,000 in surgery.
Well, but who has fucking $10,000 lying around, Leslie? I hate to tell you, but unless you're in the top fucking 0.5%, because not even 1%ers generally.
I think it's a bigger issue that, okay, if the insurance denies you, in my example, right, what, then you have to like come up with the money for surgery? Like, people don't do my surgery if...
What doctor is going to do your surgery for free?
It's not for free. You bill me later. No.
How many probates you do for free?
Zero. Let me be very clear.
Exactly.
Zero probates are done for
free. Bill me later. Good luck. Yeah, I'll pay your bill later. Leslie, you do my probate now. And when it's over, you bill me.
This is like, I'm dating myself. I'm so going to date myself. I think we might be the same age here, Maria. Like, what was that cartoon that's like, you give me whatever today, hamburgers today, I pay you on Tuesday or something. It's this little fat guy with hamburgers with Popeye. I think it was like a cartoon character inside of the Popeye cartoon.
Oh, God.
Yes. And he's like, you pay me. Okay, don't worry. We'll clip it. We'll clip it. Rafa, put the clip. Okay. I have no copyrights over that clip for the record. No, I'll get sued for
that.
We're
not putting the clip.
We're not putting the clip. We're not putting it. Just kidding.
Fuck that cat.
Fuck it. But this is ridiculous. So what do I do? Like, I mean, I've previously had back pain. You know, when you're approaching 40, it seems like things start to break down, allegedly. Yeah. I don't know. So, like, I literally, you know, like, I picked up, it was a piece of paper, for God's sakes, and I couldn't get back up, Maria. I was like, I wanted to die, okay? I wanted to die. I've never felt anything fucking
this
like
happened
that.
To me.
And so, thank God I had a friend that let me borrow some medication, but if I didn't, right, and I had to go to the doctor, and then they say,
a friend
let me borrow some pills. That works really well. Works really well for this back pain. But let's say this was a real problem. I can't function with that back. Like, I couldn't breathe, for fuck's sake. I couldn't even get up. Like, it was terrible. So what if I actually needed surgery, and this is now Blue Cross says, no, just kidding, this somehow isn't included in your fucking policy that nobody's ever read.
Well, I mean, I have a better example for you. You hurt your knee, and they didn't want to cover your surgery.
Yeah, yeah, that's true too. But I also, I mean, there was many things to that. There was many things.
Sure, but the point is,
no.
They could
this
say
was more,
you don't need this.
This was more, I if there's a way I can avoid, like, I'm very anti, no offense to doctors, I don't trust none of y'all. It wasn't even whether it was covered or not. I was like, if there's any way that I do not need to do this knee surgery, we are not going to do this knee surgery. So this is a separate.
No, I get that there was a separate, whole other motivation. But my point is that you had knee surgery, and you had different doctors who agreed or disagreed whether you needed the
surgery.
Sure,
like some said it was absolutely
and
necessary.
So your insurance
and
is like, fuck that, you don't need it.
Others are like, okay, maybe you could get around. But most of them were like, if you don't do it, because I really didn't want to do it, we're like, you know, when you're older, you know, it's going to get worse. Like, this shit doesn't get better, right? Like, it's going to get worse, and then it's going to be much more risky to do the surgery, you know, whatever. So, but that wasn't something, I wasn't trying to do the surgery. I was really trying to avoid doing the surgery.
I get you. I'm just an example.
I'm actually thinking of, like, certain people that I know with back problems that I can't imagine if they get denied surgery, like, what the fuck are they going to do?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, if someone can't pay for it, they can't get the treatment, and then they just have to wait, or if it turns into an emergency, then they go...
Like, it has to get worse.
Yeah.
For the insurance to go, oh, now we have to help you.
Well, not necessarily.
No, just kidding.
Once they deny it, and you do appeals, because typically you will do 2 or 3 appeals. If they still deny it, then the only way to force them is a lawsuit. And then if the person pays out of pocket, they can get the surgery. But if not, they would have to wait unless it becomes an emergency. And then when you go to the emergency room, they can't turn you away. They have to see you regardless of insurance. So.
Oh, God. So it needs to get to the point of, like, I'm in the ER.
No, but that's bullshit. Because you go and they have to see you. But they still fucking bill you millions of dollars afterwards. It's
wait.
That they see you when it's free.
No,
bitch.
No, claro, like, claro.
You fucking get $1 million bill afterwards, you know?
But that's a problem, right?
But it's up to the doctor in the ER, let's say.
Yeah.
Whether it's they have to perform surgery or not in that moment.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so scream loudly. Say you can't breathe. You can't, like, make sure. Tremendo show in the ER. And then, but at least they'll do the surgery. Then you'll owe $1 million.
Yeah, then you'll go bankrupt.
Then you'll go bankrupt. Then you watch Jimmy Spitala's podcast about bankruptcy. And then we'll take it from there. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Just wow. This
just
sounds
wow
terrible.
Right.
This
just
all
wow
sounds
right
terrible. So we should all exercise, lose weight, get healthier because la cosa se ve. Like, it
la cosa está muy mal.
La cosa se ve bien bleak. Bien bleak.
Yeah, and back surgeries is actually something they deny very often. I don't know why. There must be a reason or something.
Because they're fucking expensive, I imagine. Like, you know?
I don't know.
This is a, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's frustrating.
The other phenomenon I have found is, as someone who tries to stay away from hospitals, because the hospital settings bill you outrageous amounts, yeah. And so I already know, like, go find the smaller providers is kind of the way to go, generally. It's been increasingly hard to find smaller providers. Is that just a phenomenon of South Florida, well, or?
So I think that is happening a lot because of this private equity in healthcare that's going on now, where bigger companies are buying out smaller practices, yeah, and smaller hospitals. So then now you end up with these big companies that are, you know, looking at their stock options as opposed to patient care.
Like, and then, I couldn't find an endocrinologist, for example, and I ended up booking one at UM. And the team at UM is fantastic, but their next appointment is in 11 months, right?
Oh, I mean, my
yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah. I have an appointment in, like, wow, 2025 already for this department because I don't have an emergency. It's a routine visit. So you get put in, like, fucking 11 months from now. Wow. And so I'm sitting here like, okay, the one that I used to go to no longer takes my insurance. There are barely any, like, private doctors that have their own practice and specialties anymore. Like, it's really hard to find one that isn't associated with UM, Baptist, doctors. Like, they're all Larkin. They're all associated with some larger hospital for the most part now. And yep, when you call those departments, the appointments are 12 months away. More sometimes.
So this seems to all be going towards this, we only do emergency care in this country. Like, if you're dying, like the ER will take you, I guess, and not dump you. I mean, this is just crazy.
I mean, luckily, I don't have an emergency, but imagine if I did. Like, what, you think that 10 months is reasonable to wait for an appointment?
No, it is not.
It's not. And they'll run my insurance the day before and call me to cancel because it's not covered.
Oh, right.
Like, this is why it pisses me off even more. You know what I mean? Like, here, that's a great example. My mammogram is in 4 months. And then the day before, they'll call and fucking cancel after I've waited forever for it. Or the doctor moved away, or the doctor left the practice. That has happened to me, too. That happened to me, actually, with a
the doctor
department.
Left the practice.
That happened to me with, wow, a different department at UM, where the doctor left. I made an appointment. It was, like, fucking 9 months away. And then 2 months before my appointment, I get a phone call that they got to reschedule me because the doctor's gone. And now I got to wait another fucking 9 months for some doctor. And so on and so on and so forth. And yeah, wow, this is healthcare in America. Like, this is healthcare in America. Makes you crave just a little bit for socialized medicine, but we can have a whole other podcast on the problems with that.
I imagine.
I'm but so confused. I think at the bottom of it, a lot of it is health insurance companies because...
Sure, I
that's
agree.
Also why we don't see individual doctors a lot because the paperwork you have to do just to get a patient authorized or to file claims and... It's just, it gets so burdensome. And it's
sure.
Just
and like, they need an entire office staff just to, yes, like, deal with, yes, it.
And they get denied, and then they do it again.
Exactly.
And yeah, I know. I see the denials. They send you courtesy copies. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. Wow. What is this No Surprises Act you were talking to us about before we came on the air?
So the No Surprises Act was a law that went into effect on January 1, 2023. Which...
Oh, not too long ago.
No, not too long ago, which is at a national level. We already had a state counterpart in Florida before this act was enacted. But basically what that says is if you go to an in-network hospital and you had an emergency, and then you get treatment there, and then there's like a radiologist or a specialist that sees you in that hospital, but they're not in-network with your insurance... Your insurance still has to pay them because you're going to an in-network hospital. And then they can't balance bill you, basically. It's a big balance billing thing. That's the mm-hmm. biggest issue because patients were having to, during an emergency, you go and then the hospital is covered, but then this specialist came in and said, well, I'm not in your network, so you have to pay me the difference on what your insurance didn't pay.
Right.
So now that can't happen anymore. In Florida, like I said, I don't know when it was enacted, but we've had that law for a long time. So they can't, out-of-network physicians can't bill you if they're seeing you in an in-network hospital. Well, and that's can't balance bill you. Let me clarify that. They can't balance bill you.
But that's so only unique to out of network seeing you in an in-network facility.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct.
That's all. It's a very limited
yes
category, it sounds like.
Yeah, because the idea there is, like, you couldn't choose this hospital. You couldn't choose the doctor that was working in the hospital.
Right.
Like, you showed up, you had an emergency, and you don't know who works there or doesn't work there, so.
And you have no way of knowing.
You have no control, so you shouldn't have to be paying them more when you had to, I mean, you had to go to this hospital and your insurance right covers it.
Right. Hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
One small step for
yeah, but what's happening,
are we witty, but one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, is that really and, where we're going right now?
What happens though now with that is a lot of out-of-network providers then sue the health insurance company saying you can't force me to accept the in-network rate because I'm not in your network. So then there's disputes and lawsuits going on with doctors and health insurance companies saying, you got to pay me the rate that I should be getting paid.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, okay, good luck with that. That's
what's with
it's
all
very
the,
common.
What's with all the letters we get all the time from doctors saying, like, oh, I'm not going to start taking this insurance if they don't negotiate with me, or... It reminds me of the old letters you used to get from cable companies.
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm talking
what
about?
What are these letters?
Yeah, you do know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, explain to Leslie, because I'm not doing a good job of explaining.
I've gotten that before. Yeah, so let's say you have been going to your, I don't know, OBGYN, right? Like for
whatever,
10
doctor,
years
sure
that you see, if you had a baby or if you just get your checkups, this has been your doctor for 10 years. But now there's a dispute between the health insurance company and that practice because the
right
health insurance doesn't want to pay them the contract rate. Like, they don't agree on the contract rate. So at that point, the doctors will notify the patients because they do have to notify if they're going to terminate a contract with an insurance company. They have to notify the patients, and then the contract usually has, like, you need to give 30 or 60 days notice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they do that, because they say, well, if we don't, if we don't renew this and we don't come to an agreement, we're going to be out of network, and
right
we can't, you know, we can't.
We're not going to honor, right.
Yeah, we're not going to honor your insurance. And
yeah,
it's just basically something they are required to do. But on the other hand, it also helps the doctors if the patients are collaborating, because if the patients are calling now their health insurance and saying, hey, why aren't you keeping my doctor? Keep my doctor. Then that'll push also the health insurance company to keep.
Do you think it really does, though? Do you think they keep a count of how many people call? I don't think that's true.
Well, I've actually had in the past a physician that, I mean, I loved, that I had for years, just a regular doctor that I went to, and they sent letters to us saying, hey, please call and help us. Tell them that you don't want us to go. And it actually did help, but that's because the doctors were asking for the collaboration. I think if it's just like a random person, then
it's
not going to matter, but if they get enough calls, I think, yes, it will matter.
Interesting. Yeah, it's like when, I was too young, but there was all these campaigns. Remember that I want my MTV? Call your cable provider and tell them, I want my MTV. You don't know what I'm talking about? When MTV was a thing on TV, like early days when they actually used to play videos.
Yeah.
When
was it not?
In the early days of MTV, it was like a whole thing. I don't remember what years. I'm guessing it was in the 80s. Maybe it was in the 90s. Honestly, I don't recall. But it was a thing, and a lot of the cable providers didn't carry MTV. And so MTV used to run commercials that would that was the line. Like, I know the line because it's so famous. It was like, call your cable provider and tell them, I want my MTV. And it was like, you would yell that, and that was the MTV commercial that they would play over and over. Anyways, it doesn't matter. It's not MTV. But it's kind of the same concept. Like, I get these letters, and they remind me of the MTV commercials because they're always like, here's the issue, and your insurance is dumping us, and if we don't reach an agreement by this date, please note you'll no longer be a patient. Like, it's one of those, like, you have until this date, they have until this date to reach a negotiation with us. It's like they're involving you in their fucking drama every time I get one of these.
Yeah, but they are required to give that notice.
Right, right. No, so, I get it. They're required. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to have to show up to your doctor and all of a sudden your shit's not covered. So
I mean,
we don't
it doesn't
take
matter. It's not covered anyway. And I don't have to show up because they canceled the day before. So all in all, we're doing good, guys. We're doing good.
En fin.
En fin, estamos jodidos. De Wawina. Y sin ayuda. That's how we doing here, okay? En la Yuma. Wow. En la Yuma. That's how the Yuma's treating us.
This just became the most fucking Cuban podcast ever. Ever.
Sorry. Sorry, 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 sorry. To quote my Canadian friend, Jess. Sorry, sorry.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. All right. Well, on that note, I think I am sufficiently doomed and gloomed out about this entire process. But I am very happy that there are the yous of the world, Maria, to fight the man.
To sue someone.
To sue something. Someone. Do something. And fucking help people really fucking need back surgery. And so I appreciate what you do. And we know you don't do it for free, but nevertheless, it is definitely a service. So yes. Thank you for your service, I shall say. That being said, any closing thoughts or anything you want to leave our audience with or anything people should know that we haven't already talked about? Don't go to the doctor. Diet, exercise, and stop smoking. Like, those are your best chances for survival. For sure. Best chances for survival.
I just think that so more people need to know that you actually can go against your health insurance if you need to, because most people think, oh, well, they denied it, I'm not going to do anything. Well, you can't do something, you can appeal it, and if it does get to the point where you need to sue, you can sue them. So it's something that you have rights, so make sure that you look into it and don't give up, because they're counting on you to give up to not pay for your treatment.
I love that. Yeah. Fight the man. That's the answer. Fight the healthcare man.
Yes.
All right. On that note, this has been another amazing episode of Law Shit You Should Know. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening, and we'll see you again next time.